out.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's a nice silly little treat.
It is a silly little treat. And sometimes you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I like don't like ice. I should like ice because stuff with ice is better because it's cold.
Yeah. silly little treat, unlike the movie we're reviewing today.
Nothing about that movie was silly or a treat.
Yeah. Welcome to Real Horror Show, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies from Netflix, Hulu, Shudder, and everything in between. I'm your host, Sam Odie.
And I'm your co-host, Stormy Skies.
Welcome to the podcast. Today we'll be reviewing Saw 7, the final chapter, 3D. Saw 3D, also released as Saw the Final Chapter, is a 2010 American 3D horror film directed by Kevin Guittert and written by Patrick Melton and Marcus Dunstan. It is a sequel to 2009's Saw 6 and the seventh installment in the Saw film franchise. The film stars Tobin Bell, Costas Mandalore, Betsy Russell, Sean Patrick Flannery, and Carrie Elwes, or Ewells.
Yeah,
I swear, right? I watched the princess. I watched behind the scenes, and they said Elwes, so I don't know.
Yeah,
who you
Elwes
are. Wesley from The Princess Bride.
You know who we mean. He knows that we're talking about him.
Yeah. The plot follows a man falsely claiming to be a survivor of one of the Jigsaw Killer's games. In order to become a local celebrity, he finds himself part of a real game where he must save his wife. Meanwhile, John Kramer's ex-wife Jill Tux informs the internal affairs that rogue detective Mark Hoffman is the man responsible for the recent Jigsaw games. And this is how we like to break it down. We start with characters and acting, followed by stories and writing, and lastly, production. And then we like to discuss the real horrors this movie addresses. Sometimes they're serious, and sometimes we like to have a little bit of goofy fun. That being said, we are a horror movie podcast, so here is a general trigger warning. We talk about death, blood, guts, and other unsavory topics that might not be suitable for everyone, although we try to do so with sensitivity. Listeners' discretion is advised. Movies are then rated on a scale of what the fuck did I just watch, which means there are no redeeming qualities to be found, meh, it's okay, and ah yeah, that fucked me up, what all horror should strive to be.
Yep.
So let's get started. Jumping immediately into characters and acting, the first thing I noticed is goddamn Jill Tuck is phoning it in.
Yeah, I know. For sure.
Like, I mean, the Saw franchise has never had Oscar-worthy performances, but she just didn't give a shit.
No.
Like, she was really like, oh, this is the last movie for my character and the last Saw movie, allegedly. I'm done. I'm over it.
She didn't even give a fuck in, like, the dream she had where she was, like, getting killed.
No, it was just...
Which was, like, the most intense feeling she should have felt, I think.
Yeah.
She was like, just...
She was there. She was done. She got her paycheck. It's all good.
That's true.
Mark Hoffman, also a returning character. He gave the standard Mark Hoffman performance we've seen in all the other movies. But this movie wasn't really about Mark Hoffman. It was about a newcomer, Bobby Dagan, who is claiming to be a survivor of the Jigsaw Killer, having written a book about his encounter. He does say all the right things to be a Jigsaw survivor, and even John Kramer, knew he was a survivor, and we had that great flashback.
Yep.
We know Tobin Bell is supposed to be young in the scene because he's wearing a backwards baseball cap.
Yeah, like a tracksuit and jeans, or a track shirt.
Yeah.
Whatever, and jeans.
what a youthful fellow.
And he like was so youthful that he like moved about, and then he like put his hands on the table to lean in, so he was like very mobile and not old.
Yep. And then a fun little casting note, the publicist, Bobby's publicist, was played by Gabby West, who was the winner of the second season of Scream Queens. which was a reality TV show to find the next great scream queen.
That show.
Tanendra Hall, who won the first season, appeared in Saw 6 as Simone. However, I've only watched the second season of Scream Queens because Nerdy Nummies, I can't remember her real name right now. She's a YouTube personality. She was on the second season and was apparently really bad, so I watched season 2 for that. So I just only associated it being a one season show.
How long did that show go for? A while?
I think it only went for 2 seasons
Just
because
to.
I'm guessing it probably would have gone on for a third season if it didn't had Saw continued with an eighth movie, which was originally planned, and we'll get to that in the production notes.
Okay, yeah, but oh my
But
God, that like unlocked a memory because I watched that because yeah, they were put in Saw. What the first girl was put in Saw,
yeah, the first
and
girl
the
was
second, yeah.
I think she was Simone, which was the
She cut her arm off.
yeah, she cut
Yeah.
her arm off.
Sweet. And then the second girl, she was also put in Saw.
Yeah, so I'm
Okay.
thinking they had a deal with Twisted Pictures or Lionsgate to be in the Saw movies because those are low risk movies to put inexperienced actors in.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just an interesting piece of early 2000s history.
Oh my God.
Also, fucking Chester Bennington, rest in peace. He played the
Yeah.
skinhead glued to the seat of the
Oh,
car.
yeah. Who's Chester Bennington? Do we like him? Who is
He
that?
was the lead singer of Linkin Park. Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh my God. No
I know.
idea.
I was like, I know that face. That's Chester Bennington. No
Oh my
fucking way.
God.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, well, he died. Oh my God, 2017. What happened?
Yeah. He committed suicide.
Oh my God. That's
Yeah.
terrible.
And with the 20th anniversary of Hybrid Theory, I think that was the album that just had its 20th anniversary. Whatever
Yeah.
Numb was on, they just
Yeah, Hybrid Theory.
released some vault tracks. And that was a pretty like emotional day for us Linkin Park fans to hear
Wow.
new music from Chester for the first time in 5 years.
He was in the movie. He had a really gnarly scene, dude. That was
He did.
intense. The skin coming
Which
off.
I'm actually surprised that
Yeah.
throughout the Saw franchise, we haven't seen more alternative rock artists making an appearance to
Yeah.
have a gnarly death scene. I feel like that's very like up their alley. So while I was shocked to see Chester Bennington in this movie, I also wasn't because that feels very on brand for an alt rock kind of guy. Like, yeah, fuck me up. I want to be in Saw.
Saw is hardcore. Yeah. I want to get killed in Saw. I feel like that's such a cool thing to actually do, though, too. Like, that'd be sweet.
Yeah.
But no, I had no freaking idea. It looks like Numb was on Meteora. Meteora?
Okay, it was Meteora then that had the 20th anniversary because the song that they released from the vault sounded a lot like Numb, so it made sense why it didn't get on the album. It went into the vault because Numb is the stronger of the two songs, but still, man, it was a moment. It was an emotional moment.
Yeah, that's really sad. I didn't know he had passed. Well, yeah, interesting. Well, I'm glad you got to see him and hear and yeah, very cool.
And then we
Anybody
have
else?
Cary Elwes returning as Gordon Lawrence. And I thought his return was a little, it was just
It's
a little
Lawrence
un
Gordon, silly.
Lawrence Gordon.
Same diff,
I
same
was
diff.
saying
It's two first names.
last name, comma, first name.
Yeah. Well, he has
But
like two first names and two lat. It's like, you know what I
yeah, I found his return a little underwhelming and also felt like he was kind of phoning it in too. Because when he appeared for the first time in the movie at the survivors meeting, I
Yeah.
swear to God, he was talking in a fucking British accent for 30 solid
Dude,
seconds.
I know, right? I was like, what are you doing? And then he was like a little too chill, and I was like, okay, like guys, this is like him. It's him. yeah,
I
it looks
get
so British.
It felt underwhelming. I'm glad to see him come back. That put a nice little bow for the alleged final movie in the Saw franchise.
Yeah.
However, something I learned, because now that we've been producing a lot of Saw content, I'm
Yeah.
getting a lot of Saw content on my For You page on TikTok.
Okay.
Apparently, Cary Elwes was suing the Saw franchise for a little while there because he
Oh.
wasn't getting paid what they agreed upon in the contract. I guess he was supposed to get like 1% of the profits the film ultimately made, which makes sense because I always wondered why he did Saw with how famous he was in the early 2000s.
Right.
So he was suing them, and I
Oh
can't
my
remember
gosh.
what the result of that lawsuit was, but that hasn't like popped up on the Wikipedia page. It's always said Cary Elwes was too busy for Saw 6 to return, but I'm wondering if he wasn't super busy, there was just still like sore feelings about that whole lawsuit situation. Anyway,
Yeah.
that was interesting. That's the kind of stuff we should be talking about on the Saw retrospective, but I didn't look too much into it because legal jargon is annoying and frustrating to read and boring. No one wants to hear that.
Exactly. But no, that I had no idea. Huh. Interesting.
Anyway, I would
Yeah.
say all the returning players are kind of phoning it in with this movie. I don't think they give a shit. The newcomers are given are doing their best with the
Yeah.
material given, but one thing, like, so I don't want to skip ahead into production notes, but they knew that this was going to be the final movie in the
Yeah.
franchise because, as we discussed in our last two retrospective episodes, it hadn't been performing well at the box office like it did in when the series started. It got
Yeah.
Saw 5 was beat out by High School Musical 3, and then Saw 6 was
Yeah.
beat out by Paranormal Activity. So
This one, yeah.
they had originally planned for there to be Saw 7 and Saw 8 to follow Saw 6.
Yeah.
But with the low box office performance, they decided to combine the plots of 7 and 8 and just do
Oh.
7. This definitely isn't the worst in the Saw franchise. I think 4 is still by far the worst in the franchise.
Dude, I don't
But
like this one. Oh, you think the four is bad, Sam? Wait till we watch Jigsaw.
I know, and I
Dude, that
didn't
was my
realize
least favorite.
Jigsaw
Yeah.
had come out in 2017. It
I
feels
know.
a lot older to me, like,
I know. Like, they didn't try
because that
to
is a
make it look
pretty
good.
that is a pretty like
Decent.
decent gap between the
Yeah.
final installment and then reprising Jigsaw,
Yeah.
because I felt more hype with Spiral coming out, like, oh,
Dude, yeah.
finally they're doing a new Saw movie. That took forever, but I guess not. Spiral came out in what, 2018, 2019?
2021.
Jesus, what
I
is
know.
time?
I know. But like that's
In my
the
defense, Jigsaw came out while we were in grad school. We've been very
We're
open that we don't
busy.
know anything
Yeah.
that happened while we were in grad school.
No, there's like a 2.5 year gap.
2 came out during the pandemic, another 2.5 year gap.
2.5 year gap. No, nothing. Nothing at all. And then Jack is still under the rock. So I'm like, oh, I need to watch a movie, but where do I start? And then, but luckily you're back in it, but it's just the new stuff. So it's like hard to go back because you're trying to keep up with the new stuff.
Because the first movie I
Yeah.
saw when theaters reopened
Oh.
was Freaky, which was the body swap movie with Vince Vaughn in it.
Yeah.
And
Okay.
that was such a good movie to return to theaters with. And it just made me so happy. I love going to the movie theater and going for the first time in 2 fucking years.
Yeah.
I was hype. It had to be two
Just
years,
hyped up. But guess
close
what?
to
You
2 years
won't be
at
hyped
least.
up for Jigsaw. I'm sorry, but like that's my least favorite one of them all. It's still good,
Yeah,
but
I feel like there's going to be another interesting reality show tidbit with Jigsaw, but I'm not sure
okay.
if I now that my timeline in life is all skewed, I don't know if it'll actually be Jigsaw or if it was for Saw 7. But I don't know if I've ever discussed it on the podcast, but one of my favorite pastimes is very specific reality show competitions.
Yeah.
So I fucking love Blown Away on Netflix, the glass blowing competition show.
Cool.
Ultimate Cowboy Showdown, which is a bunch of like cowboys competing to be the ultimate cowboy.
Okay,
That one
cool.
actually has an insanely good prize if they win. They get like
A farm?
$10,000 worth of cattle for free. Like, that is fucking
Yeah,
insane.
that's awesome. A bunch of cattle, they're like moo 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 moo. So like
Yeah.
they're like they're waiting for their owner.
Scream Queens was great.
Yeah.
Ink Master is terrible. They complain about everything, and fucking Dave Navarro exists.
Oh, I know. Can't stand the sight of him.
But I remember there was, I can't remember the name of it, a body paint competition show for like body paint artists.
I
And
think I remember that.
Tobin Bell was a guest judge for
He
that.
was. Why?
Because they were doing a horror themed episode, and it was
Oh.
to promote either this one or Jigsaw. I can't remember. It depends when the episode came
Oh.
out. But
Okay.
so that saw was just sprinkled everywhere for a while.
It is, yeah, and it still is. And I just, no matter what, like good movie, bad movie, it's here to stay.
And I'm
It's here to stay.
glad they made the call to end the franchise when they did, because I think franchise fatigue is very real. Marvel fans can deny it all they fucking want to, but
It's too much,
it's
yeah.
very real. And from 2004 to 2010, we had a new Saw movie every year, and a good chunk of those Saw movies were telling the same story.
Yeah.
It was wrapping up Saw 3 for three movies, so I get
know.
why franchise fatigue happened with the Saw franchise fairly quickly. And also, we see with like our classic slasher movies that 7 is just kind of the standard number that you can't really drag it on past that
Right. Yeah.
before it starts going straight to DVD. And this
Yes,
one
yeah.
looked fucking straight to DVD.
Right, but this is when they like did that, they went all in for 3D and like there's barely any 3D moments.
Yeah, I'm guessing that is why like everything
Yeah.
else about it looks super cheap, is because they
Yeah.
put a big chunk of the budget to making it 3D, and I didn't
Right.
notice any overt 3D moments.
The only one that I like can remember is that at the end when Lawrence throws the saw and it goes right to you and then it goes, you know what I mean? Like it goes straight to the camera. So I'm like, oh, intense. But that's it, man. It wasn't like, yeah. They didn't need to do that. I was gonna ask you, this did come out in theaters. Did it like get beat out by any other random movie or anything like that
Let
you noticed?
us see release.
Yeah.
Saw 3D was pushed back a week to October 29th to prevent competition with Paramount's Paranormal Activity 2.
Oh, yeah. Don't want that to happen again.
Don't see a number right away for how much it
Yeah.
made.
Okay.
But they did want to avoid the new juggernaut in the horror community, which was the Paranormal Activity franchise,
Yeah, definitely.
which I'm proud
Definitely
to say to
smart.
this day, I've only seen one Paranormal Activity movie, and it makes absolutely no sense.
Was it one that
I
you
saw
saw?
three with no
I
context.
think that like I think that you need to see one, two. I think one, two, and three might like go together.
They do.
I think I saw one and I don't remember. One is like very uneventful, but good. And I think two. I think I saw one and two, but I can't remember. Ugh, I don't know.
So
Yeah.
anyway, we might as well break down the story. This one picks up a little bit, maybe right away after Saw 6, because that's the thing. We're not going to finish a movie in the movie. We're going to finish the movie three movies later.
Yep. Oh my
So
God.
it's revealed right away that Dr. Lawrence Gordon survived the test, dragged himself out, cauterized his own little nub, and
Ugh.
sometime later, John Kramer comes to get him and says, "Congratulations, you survived your test." Saves him, gives him a little prosthetic to help him hobble out of the test alive,
Yeah.
which I feel like they retcon a bit because in Saw 10, he does say that he takes them to the hospital, but we see in this one that he did the surgery on Gordon himself. Maybe Gordon talked him into take them to the hospital because you didn't do a very good job with this.
Yes, probably.
So that's all a flashback to the first movie. And meanwhile, Jill Tuck knows that Mark Hoffman escaped from his trap, and she reports him to internal affairs to try and get him arrested before he comes to kill her, because as we said in the previous episode, she's now number one on the shit list.
Yes, absolutely.
And while all this is going on, because I just have like a movie without a trap gone, we see white supremacists being tested and killed. None of them survive. That was an icky scene. I've talked about it before. Cheap gore grosses me out more than expensive gore for some reason. I think just because you can see how cheap it is, and I don't, something about it just feels grosser. Maybe it's the color of the blood. I think it's the color of the blood. It's very Heinz ketchup-y.
Oh, yeah.
We've been trying to figure out why we're so grossed out by the gore and Terrifier. And I think it might be because it's cheap. I don't know. I don't know. Anyway,
And sometimes the sounds
the
too
new
gross.
Terrifier movie is going to be a Christmas movie, and
Oh, you
we'll
know how I feel
watch
about
it.
that.
I'm going to bitch about it the whole time. We'll see if I actually finish it, but it's gross. It's icky.
A Christmas movie.
Apparently there's a scene in it that made Art the Clown almost throw up during filming. So,
Oh,
yay.
too much. Yay. Ho, ho,
So anyway, Bobby Dagan is a self-help guru who achieved fame and fortune by fabricating a survival story of the Jigsaw Killer. He later wakes up to find himself actually trapped with all the people he cares about being murdered for his horrible behavior, his terrible behavior.
Damn him. What do you think was gonna happen?
A nice little moment is we do have the survivors circle, so we get to see a
That's
few
cool.
people return. I
That's
couldn't name them, but I did kind of recognize a few from the previous movie. And then, of course, Gordon makes his
yeah.
villainous appearance.
He sits like in the corner of the room, which cracks me up. Freak.
Fucking weirdo.
I know, what a weirdo. Oh, God.
Oh, I forgot. I just kind of glossed over the opening trap. It's
Oh, yeah,
so
what was that?
stupid.
It was the storefront. Yeah, that had nothing to do with anything.
And everybody's watching. No one's calling the police.
Yeah, they call it, they do it too late. It's too late.
And I think the trap was completely unnecessary. The reason these three people are in the opening trap is because the girl has been a hoe. She's been cheating on her boyfriend with his best friend. And I just don't think that's worthy of a jigsaw trap. I feel that's very petty and unnecessary.
I know, like it's almost as bad as like the guy who like was smoking cigarettes. I
Faking
like
sick.
maybe this is maybe worse because it like it's none of their business. It's none of Jigsaw's business. But now it's everybody's business because he had to put it on display.
So the survivor of that trap was also there, but it doesn't matter because that whole opening trap didn't matter and was very stupid.
Those people had nothing to do with literally anybody else. I don't know who they were, and it didn't matter. And yeah, they both,
Sounds a lot like Jeff.
yeah, exactly like Jeff. Yeah, it's just like Jeff. He really didn't matter. They're like, oh, this woman has a husband. I guess we should like do something about that. And that's why Jeff is existing right now.
Speaking of Jeff, Jeff was mentioned once again
He was met
because
when I missed it.
during the whole
When?
like plot twist reveal that Lawrence has been helping Jigsaw since the
Oh,
first
yeah.
movie,
Yes,
he's
yes.
the one that recommends Jeff's wife. And my note here
Yes.
is fucking Jeff, stop trying to make Jeff a thing. Ah.
I know.
Like
Jeff's wife.
at this rate, I would not be surprised if Jeff becomes a central character in Saw 11.
I know. That would be so funny if they really were like, let's take it back, but not too far back, and let's just do three again.
Well, because they have, I keep bringing this up. We have a finite amount of time with John Kramer in the Saw franchise.
I
He
know.
dies in Saw 3, and Saw 1 and Saw 3 take place 6 weeks apart, give or take. Maybe 3 months if we're being generous. And we now have four movies set in that short amount of time. And so that's why I'm surprised we have a Saw 11 coming out. It might actually not be a continuation of that finite amount of time. It could extend past where we are now in the franchise. So if they go with it being in the Saw 1 through 3 span of time, well, Saw 1 through 3 plus 10,
Yeah, plus
we
10,
could very
which is,
well fucking see Jeff
yeah.
again. And I will
Right.
be very vocal about it in the theater. Fuck this guy.
I know. Yeah, we'll be in the theater though, but like, no, I really think that Saw 11 has the possibility to be like Saw 8, which would be like the one directly after this one because Mark Hoffman is in, he gets put in that bathroom again. But he's not killed on screen. So
That's
everyone
true.
is holding out hope that he may be alive. I don't know what the fuck happened.
That's true. That's a very good
So
point.
keeping my eye on his social media.
So anyway, so Bobby goes through his test and he kind of sucks. He
Dude,
doesn't
he sucks. He
say
fails everything.
he fails every test because he doesn't know how to pass them. He's not a Jigsaw survivor. He's a little
No, he's just a little bitch.
Finally, he
Oh,
reaches
dear.
his wife and confesses to her, I lied about it all. And he stabs himself with the hooks in the shoulders and does what he needs to do to try
The
and in the boobs to try and free himself from her. But he didn't really do a good job at stabbing himself with the hook. So they rip and he falls.
fell
And
down.
this fucking trap, I said, oh, bullshit, as soon as it did its thing. It closed around her to create like a convection oven and cooked her alive.
This is has a name. Wait, this has an it's like a torture device. Fuck. Torture device. Saw 3D. That's stupid. I will find the name.
All right.
But it's like a it's a thing.
Meanwhile, we have the internals affair guy trying to collect the evidence he needs to arrest Hoffman and also try to find Hoffman in order to arrest him. And we get a flashback showing that he has reported Hoffman in the past for police brutality, which to me makes sense for Hoffman's character, given how he goes about the Jigsaw traps. Makes sense that he is a brutalist police officer. When I say ACAB, that includes Mark Hoffman.
Right, all he does is beat on
Especially Mark
anybody.
Hoffman. Especially Mark Hoffman.
I know he may be like the poster boy for like a crooked cop, but like a bad
All
guy, like a
cops are bastards.
absolutely. He just fucking kills anybody. Remember he killed that in the flashback? He just kills that guy and he's like, you owe me. I'm like, what the fuck?
He put a love triangle in a Jigsaw trap. Like, what even are you doing? That's none of your business,
He's
sir.
fucking lost it, dude. He ever since he survived the trap Jill put on his head and he ripped his face, he's like extra mad. Also, I wanted to say that, like, I don't know if you noticed it, but like I think this is like the most horned up he's been because it's like him versus Jill. And so I'm noticing some tension there between the two of them, if nothing else at all, because they're both checked out. But yeah, anyway.
So yeah, speaking of Jill, Mark finally hunts her down and we get to see finally after so long, after its first appearance. And it did occur to me that we've already failed our Saw retrospective because we haven't done Saw 0.5.
What's that one?
That's the short film that got them the funding
Oh.
to do the first movie. But
Damn. Okay.
after
We'll do it
technically
after
four
four.
appearances, three, four appearances, we finally see how the bear trap kills a person. The bear trap
Yeah.
has always been passed, but Hoffman puts Jill in the bear trap, does to her what she did to him, and she doesn't have the male rage that he has to get
To like,
out.
yeah, to get out.
So we see RIP Jill Tuck have her face ripped open
Damn, yeah, that
and
was that, yeah,
die.
cool. She died. Rest in
We have
peace.
a very emotional montage reminding us that she's a hottie that John Kramer plowed. That she's the love of his life and
Yeah, that's who she's love his life. It's first she's a hot.
yeah.
He's
Like
like, this is the best I can possibly do.
she's a 10 out of 10. John Kramer was 60 and pulled that. Like, good job, man. Like, that's gonna be really weird if they somehow also, if they go with like 11 being in the 1 through 3 timeline, they also would have to bring back Jill Tuck in some capacity. In fact, I'm surprised she wasn't in Saw 10. But that'll be especially weird now that he's in his 80s and doesn't believe in de-aging technology. But I mean, she's also, what, 20 years older, so 14 years older. Uh-oh. Did I lose the stormy skies? Okay, everything's back to normal.
Okay, what was the last thing you heard me say?
I can't remember. You were laughing because I said that Jill
Oh.
Tuck was the. I was talking about how Tobin Bell looks 80 now, so if they try to bring back Jill Tuck, it'll be even like weirder. But she's also 14 years older since we last saw her, so we'll see. Anyway, Jill Tuck is dead, and John was worried this would happen. So one of the messages he left for Dr. Gordon is that if anything happens to Jill, to take out Hoffman, because he knew Hoffman was unpredictable. Hoffman has had problems in the past. He got straight C's in Jigsaw school. Amanda was the one he wanted to carry on his legacy. But really, Dr. Gordon
Right.
turns out to was his most valuable apprentice because without Gordon, Jigsaw wouldn't have been able to, insert the keys in the places he wanted the keys inserted.
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's mostly keys or like other little things to like sew stuff or just do stuff with a surgical edge to
Yeah.
it.
And I made a note that it's a good thing that Jigsaw's dead, otherwise Hoffman would be in a lot of trouble for hurting Jill, but turns out he had a contingency plan for that. So we see Gordon knock out Hoffman and take him to the bathroom where the first test in the franchise that we saw was done. And Adam is still there as a corpse. Gordon has a nice little moment looking at his foot, which is also still there.
I feel sad for that.
And the series ends with Gordon saying game over. So a nice little bow to end the franchise with for
Oh, yeah.
now.
For now.
For now.
For now. And then he goes, I do want to make a quick note that the trap that Bobby Dagan's wife is in is called a brazen bull. Whenever you go in the trap, it like closes and stuff and the fire comes on. But like whenever you scream, it's supposed to sound like on the outside like a bull noise. That is what it's not the exact same in the movie, obviously, because it looks like a oven, like you said. But it's supposed to be like a brazen bull.
Yeah.
Right, cool. That's all I had to say about that.
So a couple more production things since I
Yeah.
have the Wikipedia open before we wrap up.
Okay.
Kevin Grutert wasn't supposed to direct this movie. They were going to bring back Hackle to direct it, but they fired Hackle for some reason and brought on Grutert, who was actually going to direct Paranormal Activity 2. Let me hover and see if he actually did that. Nope, Todd Williams got it. So Poor Kevin.
Yeah, damn.
So they pulled him on and they forced him on by exercising a contractual clause in his contract, much to Grootert's dismay. Maybe that's why everybody was phoning it in, because they forced the director to give up, the movie
Yeah.
that everyone was actually going to go see that Halloween, which was
Yeah,
the
that would
new
have been
Paranormal Activity, because
really
Paranormal Activity
stupid.
was a
Yeah.
fucking juggernaut if we
It was. That
want
would
to
have made
look
his
back.
career. Yeah, dude. That this would not make your career, but like that would have. Shit, everyone was just mad then on set. They're just pissed.
So before filming began, 2 weeks before filming began, he performed a compressive rewrite of the script. Melton explained that he has a lot of ideas, but it's a bit hard and extreme to implement all these ideas because sets have to be built, people have to be cast, props have to be brought in and created. In the Saw films, they are so specific in set design because of the traps, it becomes very problematic and difficult to change things right in the middle of it all. So it just sounds like it wasn't a great filming experience for everybody
It's kind of a
involved.
mess all around. Yeah, it's kind of a mess.
So like I said at the top of the episode, Saw 8 and Saw 7 were combined to create Saw the Final Chapter, to officially end the series. In every Saw movie, we left questions open, and in Saw 7, we answer every question the audience has ever had. Kind of. He added that even new viewers will be able to follow and get caught up to speed. Saw 3D was originally intended to be two separate films. According to Melton and Dunstan, it was our original intention to make the final Saw in two parts, but when Saw 6 didn't do so well, the studio got nervous and we were only allowed to make one more. And
Damn.
I think that's completely fair. I think towards the end, it was clear that Saw was no longer like the horror juggernaut that it had been, and we were moving into a new era of horror movies and what people wanted from horror movies. And we see that, happen every decade. You
Yeah, we
have the
do.
body snatchers in the 50s, the communism scary, and then you have, oh, women's liberation, let's kill them all for being open about their sexuality with the slasher movies. And then
Yeah.
you had Saw and Hostel and all these super violent movies following 9/11.
Yeah.
And, entering the 2010s, we wanted something different out of our horror movies. And we'll have to like actually sit down and analyze to see what we were trying to get out of those horror movies.
It looks like maybe Hauntings because we had The Conjuring and we had
That's true.
maybe Haunting slash like possession stuff again because we were ready for it
That's true.
again.
That's
Yeah,
true.
something like that. Maybe a little bit of that. Oh yeah, but that makes me wonder what you when you said they were only allowed to make one more, then why? I mean, a lot of time passed, but then they're like, let's do Jigsaw. So Jigsaw happens. So I wonder where that came from.
Well, we'll have to find out in the next retrospective.
That's a 7-year gap there because this was
It it's
2010.
possible that my guess would be
Yeah.
Tobin Bell wanted to do another one, because I get the feeling that's why Saw 10 happened, is Tobin Bell wanted to tell one more story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, 10 is like great. Jigsaw, I can't wait for you to watch it.
Oh no.
Just to see, it's not great, but like it is a newer one. It does have like new traps and stuff, but it's like I don't know. I don't know. Spiral's really good, but anyway, that's all I'll say about that because I don't want to spoil anything. Yeah, other than that, production 3D stuff was trying to happen but didn't happen.
Yeah,
A lot.
3D was such a gimmick.
I know. It did not catch on. I'm glad it didn't. Only for certain things, which like I'll always bring up, like the Titanic 3D, it worked. That's like top tier having it like work.
Well, I mean, you have Daddy James Cameron doing the conversion
Oh,
on that,
yeah,
so
of course. Yeah. So
we
like
expect nothing less than perfection from Daddy Jim.
perfection, of course. This is just like, I don't even try.
So realistic aspects, I guess your husband's son stalking
Baker.
you and trying to kill you.
Wait, husband's son stalking. Wait, whose
being
son is
reported
stalking
to
him?
internal affairs, being reported to HR, that's pretty scary for your out of work hobbies. I mean, come on.
I think it's so funny that when they like reported him, he was already like basically like, yeah, I did it. And then he sent like videos like, yeah, I did it. He's like, here's a video, bud. I did it. And if you give me Jill so I can kill her, ha ha ha. Like, what the fuck, Hoffman? He was like, I'm gonna kill every single human near me, so I'm the only person around, and then nobody can get me. That's like kind of how I feel like this movie is going. But yeah, that's scary to be like, to have someone catch you when you're doing Jigsaw's work.
When you're
I
being evil,
mean, be evil, yes.
people calling you
Yeah.
out on your con.
Yeah, your husband being a fucking faker and then being a faker at the same time, Jigsaw's alive still. Like, are you stupid? Unbelievable, unbelievable, and stupid enough to be surprised that he ended up in a real trap. Like, are you serious, bro? So, fucking stupid idiot, Bobby Dagan. Anyway. Yeah, well, I feel like being like a scam or like a con artist thing, that's like actually it was still a pretty huge thing. So, yeah, that's a real horror show, like a thing for sure. Yeah.
I can't remember when it came out, but there was a woman who was pretending to be a survivor of the 9/11 terrorist attack. So I wonder, depending when that all came out, I wonder if it was this part of the story was inspired by that.
Oh, maybe. And I wonder, it makes you wonder like how many like memoirs or like things exist that are like basically 90% fake, you know? Probably a lot of them. I don't know. Yeah, what else is being a
Police
skinhead but
brutality,
dying. Yeah.
that's a real thing.
Oh yeah, police brutality, of course.
Your girlfriend being a hoe and then you're the one who dies for it.
yeah. Wait, who's that?
The opening
Someone.
trap.
Oh yeah. See how little that resonated with me. Yeah, your girlfriend being a hoe. No, they both lived. She died,
Oh,
right?
I can't remember. I stopped
No,
paying
yeah.
attention.
They I know, right? No, they both like teamed up. They're like, hey, you're a hoe. They're like, do you want to die for her, man? Come on, man. And he's like, no, man, I don't want to die for her. But let's team up. So they killed her with the saw and they both lived. But yeah, she died because she was a cheater and messing with their feelings. And so that really upset Mark Hoffman, I guess. Had absolutely nothing to do with anything else, but you never, but I guess that's like a real horror show thing is like just watch out because like you never know what will trigger Jigsaw slash Mark Hoffman to put you in a trap for no reason. else?
I think that's all I have.
Yeah, and just the whole,
Oh, and I guess
yeah.
having the opportunity to direct the sequel to one of the best horror films of the early 2010s, but your previous employers pull a contractual clause out of their ass and make you come back.
Make you come back and do this pretty lame sequel. It's nowhere near as career building as Paranormal Activity 2 is. Oh man. That is all the real horror I can muster out of this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this one a meh. I don't think it's the worst in the franchise so far. I've
You
yet to
will,
see
yeah.
Jigsaw and Spiral, but we will
Jigsaw
see.
so bad. Yeah. Nah, yeah, I
I
agree
mean,
because,
four
like,
was pretty egregious. It was just bad.
I know. I don't even remember what happened in four, although I just watched it. Jesus
But
Christ,
so
man.
yeah, I give it a meh.
Meh, I
Just
agree
meh,
because,
meh.
like, I can't. I mean, it's cool because, like, Lawrence Gordon was in, I was like, oh, yeah, but, like, it was so anticlimactic that he was like his like insurance policy that I was like, ah, oh, okay. And Jill died and I was like, ah, oh, well, okay. rest in peace, Jill. And then Hoffman's alive, but in the bathroom, like, oh man, well, you shouldn't have like gotten caught. Oh shit. I mean, Tobin Bell was in it for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, this one had the least amount of jigsaw.
Yeah, just in that like very youthful backwards cap
Yeah.
thing. So meh, it is. I can't force all that fucked me up because it sure didn't. Ugh, all right. All
Sorry,
right, well
yawn.
that's it's past 5, so it's time for me and Sam to call it a night and go to sleep soon.
Yeah.
It's 'cause same here, I'm getting tired because we're at that age.
Yep, it's way past my bedtime.
Cool. Well, in that case, I will go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for tuning into our episode. We are the Real Horror Show podcast. Our host is Sam Odie, and I'm the co-host, Stormy Skies. Podcast was created by Sam Odie and Stormy Skies and is directed, edited, and produced by Sam Odie. You can find Sam on Instagram at Sam is writing stuff, and you can find Stormy on Instagram at the Stormy Skies. You can find the Real Horror Show podcast on Spotify, TuneIn, iTunes, Google Play Store, Pandora, and anywhere you like to stream your podcasts. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you're always in the know when a new episode comes out. Follow us on social media. You can find the Real Horror Show podcast on Instagram, Threads, TikTok, Facebook, and yes, Twitter too. We do more than just podcasts. We love to write and have plenty of great movie reviews and essays, all of which can be found on our website, realhorrorshow.com. We love hearing from our listeners. You can ask us a question or send us a movie request to review by DMing us on social media, or you can even send us an email at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Call for guests. Do you love horror movies? Are you a podcaster, a content creator, a movie lover, or anyone in between who is a listener to our show? We would love to have you as a guest on one of our episodes. Reach out to us via social media DM or email us at realhorrorshowpodcast@gmail.com. Our podcast episodes featuring guests are all listed on our website, realhorrorshow.com. We are so thankful for all of our listeners. You are the life force of our podcast, and it wouldn't really exist without you. Thank you all for making this podcast real and supporting us as we record every week. You can support us in different ways, such as liking and sharing our podcast episodes on social media. Giving us a review will help the podcast more than you know and will help other listeners find it too. You can also donate to Real Horror Show by visiting our support page on our website, or you can make a one-time donation via PayPal. Buy us a coffee with the Buy Us a Coffee button, or explore our very interesting Amazon wish list. And any other pertinent news to share?
Not this week.
Not quite. Yeah, not this week. Just watch the next episode of The Fall of the House of Usher, and we'll be back next week with that. Our outro song is called Creepy Doll by Jonathan Colton, and he can be found at jonathancolton.com. Thank you, fuck off, and have a swell evening. This is Real Horror Show signing off.
Bye.
Bye-bye.